Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, 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 everybody, to the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe all lesser values than love devolve into BS or bait and switch or however else you want to hang your own words on that. I simply believe that love is the highest value of relationships with human beings. And we're not here to be people of baiting and switching or other things that might go along with BS. Let's be authentic. Let's be lovers. Lovers of all people all the time. I know it's hard, but the greatest change in our lives can happen when we decide to love not only our neighbors, but to love our enemies. That's one of the greatest changes in life you or I can ever effect. So we're going to talk about that more today. But before I dive into the deep end of that pool, let me take you to a couple of places where we start off every No BS Bishop radio broadcast. First is, I love to lead you in Love's Creed. Love's Creed is a New Year's resolution I wrote a long time ago, but I've turned it and edited it to this, that I believe is good for our thinking, good for our meditation. It's good to contemplate. It's good to just hold in your vision occasionally. So I'm going to read it in total in a minute. And if you'd like a copy of this, please let me know. I can get you a full typed up copy by email at randydeanministries@gmail.com. I'd be happy to send you a copy of this. But this creed, if you will hear it in total, then I'll come back and repeat little phrases for you to repeat after me. All right, here we go. Love's Creed. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. All right, now let's go back and let me give you a short verse. I'll ask you to repeat after me so you can hear yourself say this valuable truth. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. There you have it, Love's Creed. If you'd like a copy, once again, you can email me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's randydeanministries, all one word, all lowercase, at Gmail. I'm not building an email list to beat you up, send me support, though I wouldn't mind your support, but I'm not doing that with a BS kind of bait and switch manifest here to you. I just want you to have this valuable truth in front of you. Put it on a 3x5 card or put it in your tablet or your computer. Have it somewhere where you can repeat it often so that it's a part of your mantra, part of your meditation day by day. Now, here's another thing I've just recently added that I want to lead you in each and every No BS Bishop broadcast. And that is the prayer that Jesus has taught us to pray, the Lord's Prayer, as it's called. It is valuable to establish this kind of thinking, not only in how we pray, but also how we meditate our daily living. On my way here to the station, for instance, I said the Lord's Prayer probably 4 times, not out of habit or just vain repetition, which in that passage where Jesus teaches his prayer, he says, don't do this in vain repetition. But for me, it's a settling kind of purpose and truth that keeps me moving my mind in a positive direction. But it also helps me to establish that in every day I've prayed. Even if I didn't know how to pray, at least I've said my prayer in the Lord's Prayer. And I know many of you may not know the Lord's Prayer. I'm not arguing that you should have it memorized. In fact, I wouldn't argue that ever at all. But I would ask you to join me if you can. And if you can't, just listen in and agree with me as I say this dynamic, ageless prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Here we go. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Once again, that gives me such a sense of serenity and peace and stability in my day. So I urge you to join me in the Lord's Prayer, even if I'm not in your space of life or your car. Just join me and know that I'm probably praying it alongside that day that you may be praying it yourself. Today I want to talk to you about how love really isn't just a command. Love is a healing element for us. I believe, and I've said this in different ways along the years that I've done this broadcast, I believe that love is not just an order from God. Hear, O Israel, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's not just a command. It's an invitation. It's an invitation that fulfills a sense of obedience, of course. But it is simultaneously a reward. To be pulled into, to be attracted and invited into the full arena, the full specter of love, is to be rewarded with a capacity for a better life. Because here's how I think about it. If I love, if I really love, I'm not just talking about some kind of empty, specious sort of promise, but I'm talking love not only as a noun, but a verb. It's what I'm doing. If I really love, those who receive my love, well, maybe they will receive it, maybe they won't. But it is more so a reward that I've made space in myself to be a lover. In either case, whether people receive my love or not, the reward of love is mine because loving, really loving, heals me first. It could heal others. It could help them along their path in life. I hope it does. I hope people find, when I give them my love, I hope they can find a healing path. But if they don't, somebody's always going to get healed right there. When I choose to deeply and authentically love, I am healed. I'm brought to a better place in this world. I'm brought to a better, more specific stand in my life. I found a quote here recently that, in fact, it's from a book by Felicia Morel. And I'm ordering this book. I must have this book. She says it so well that, and the only problem I have with it is I wish I had said what she said. This is from her book called The Restorative Power of Love. Now, I want you to hear this quote, and it sets kind of the tone for what I'm going after today. Here's Felicia Morel. Love allows for my mistakes and failings and those of others. When I see people's disregard, Can I trust love to bring them into the truth of their being? Or do I go rushing in to dominate, subjugate, manipulate, and twist their agency to turn the story and events of their life into what I need it to look like to feel safe? Wow. Like I said a few moments ago, the only problem I have with this quote is I wish I had said it. It's so brilliant. It's so all-encompassing in a certain way. And it goes right to what I'm talking about for my purpose today, that whether anybody receives my love or not, I'm healed first. Hopefully they find healing as well. But my purpose is not to jump in there in a codependent, fix, manage, control, enlist, recruit, convince. No. That's a sickness called codependency, which you've heard me talk about here many times. But she says, do I rush in to dominate, subjugate, manipulate, and twist their agency? That agency means their independence, their ability to live their own life in their own choosing, to turn the story and events of their life into what I need it to look like. Now, let me read the whole quote again. I like it so much. It just tastes like a wonderful, beautifully barbecued steak in my mouth. The words taste like a steak. All right, here we go. Now I'm craving a steak. All right, here's Felicia Morel's quote from her book, The Restorative Power of Love. Love allows for my mistakes and failings and those of others. When I see people's disregard, can I trust love to bring them into the truth of their being? Or do I go rushing in to dominate, subjugate, manipulate, and twist their agency to turn the story and events of their life into what I need it to look like for me to feel safe? And that's a question on her part. It's a question I hope you can answer as you've listened to me. I don't need to change anybody with love. I just need to be changed myself. So that in starting with my own core value of love changing me, perhaps I can hope that others will receive it and find change in their own soul. But if they don't, if they refuse my love, if they just reject it and push it aside with a casual, who are you? Well, that's their choice. It's their agency. That's their independence. That's their free will. And I feel bad for them. Of course I do. But I'm not here to codependently rush in to fix, manage, and control people. Why? Because I love them? No, I love them. Therefore, I am not going to be codependent. I love them. Therefore, I'm going to respect their agency, their independence. I love them, therefore, I choose not to manipulate or BS them toward my way of thinking. I love them so much, there's nothing in me that wants to see them fixed, managed, controlled, manipulated, or cajoled, or shamed into thinking like me. No. I like her, the word lilting, the prose of her words, to dominate, subjugate, manipulate. Oh no, that's just wasted human energy. It's a waste of good life if I go in there to manipulate and cajole to dominate somebody. That's exhausting. But I see love as this beautiful healing agency for myself, this beautiful capacity to carve a larger space in me to be a better human being. A better human being who isn't after fixing, managing, and controlling. A better human being who isn't trying to constantly badger and belittle and break people's brain down with my argument. To build an argument that causes them to feel just utterly mishandled. I can call it a lot of things. In some of the faith circles that I've been a part of in my life, People will say, yeah, we can't just love people. We have to tell them the truth in love. And of course, that's a cherry-picked Bible verse, speaking the truth in love. I believe it's in the book of Ephesians. Speaking the truth in love, we grow up into all things in Him. Okay, I can read the Bible. I've read it multiple times. But here's what I believe speaking the truth in love truly means. Speaking the truth in love means I've developed a patient, long-term, communicative relationship with somebody. I've earned their trust, not out of some means to cajole or BS them, but I've genuinely earned trust because they see in me a loving structure, a loving outline for my life that they know I'm not here to try to arm twist you and badger you, shame you and push you. No. So speaking the truth in love, if I am walking in love with somebody and I've earned a moment or perhaps multiple moments where they especially might invite me to speak truth, to ask me, how do you feel about my priorities, my lifestyle, my, you fill in the blank. Well, now love has developed a platform, hasn't it? Love develops a relationship. So speaking the truth in love with some of my faith folks, God bless them, I find their impatience with people's behaviors causes them to treat others with such disregard and not with love. In fact, I would take people of faith to the 1 Corinthians 13 where it says, love is patient, long-suffering. So speak the truth in love? Okay. Are you going to be patient? Are you going to be long-suffering? Are you going to believe all things? Are you going to hold them with a sense of an enduring capacity to let them be, as Felicia Morel says, to respect their agency rather than twisting their agency? The word agency there means their independence, their free will. Am I here to try to manipulate people? No, that isn't love. Love lives large and loud, but love does not live to see to it that others are thinking just like me. If any two of us are alike, one of us is unnecessary. And I just don't want to be unnecessary. I don't want to repeat in me what I see in me in others. I want others to be as fully free through love to be their full selves. I may be influenced to change me toward who they are if they're loving toward me and me toward them. We find in each other a complementary capacity to grow so that my efforts to get somebody to live right, I have so many thoughts about that. Turn or burn, baby. It's time to repent. Are you going to go to heaven or hell? See, that is not my means of loving people. The means I treat people with is in the depths, the beauty, the height, the depth, the width of love, so that people can find in me a trustworthy nature that, again, if I'm invited to speak truth, well, now I've got an opportunity to be invested in somebody's life rather than invading somebody's life. I hope you caught that. We treat people sometimes with this need to invade rather than invest. And love takes time, folks. This summer, on August 9th, my beloved bride and I will celebrate 50 years of loving life together, loving each other. And in those 50 years, we have had multiple moments where we had to be reminded, be patient, don't be in such a hurry. You ever heard that song? Well, I'll quit now. My love for Ginger has been developed over these 50 years in the sense that I can't treat her with a notion that I've got to fix her, I've got to dominate her, I've got to somehow I've got to manipulate her toward thinking what I think. Oh, I've tried. Yeah. Oh, yeah. She'll tell you he's tried. And to be fair, she's tried with me on a few occasions, and it never works. Well, it does work for one end, and that is toward negativity. It works only to create pain and misery, a sense that we're not really complimenting one another, but we're confronting each other. And that does not make for a happy marriage, especially for 50 years. We're grown up now. What do you want to be when you grow up? Well, I want to be married to Ginger for another 50 years if it were possible. But I know this, the maturity of love, whether it's in marriage or friendships or neighbors or even our enemies, the maturity of love requires of me to stop the push towards somebody thinking and being like me, because I am me and they are them, and never shall we have the two blended into each other somehow that we're both just alike. It doesn't work, folks. Love is complementary toward others. It is living in a life that is complemented to the contrasts of others. To see to it that I'm not even overtly or subtly seeking to manipulate others to be and think just like me. See, I think in our society today, we're living in a time where somehow the maturity of love has been discarded in too many folks. I'm not saying everybody, but I do know that there are far too many noisy folks in our nation right now who just want to, they just want to dominate the other person. They just want to manipulate the other person. They want to see to it that person's subjugated and twisted into how I think, rather than finding a way to live in a complementary zone of growing together. Growing together in, it's not my way or the highway, but it's our way discovered by traveling together on some highway. That's what speaking the truth in love means to me. It means we've traveled together multiple miles, multiple hours, days, weeks, months, and maybe years. We've traveled patiently together to learn what each other is really about, so that love in truth isn't about a baseball bat upside the head, but truth in love, love in truth, is this discovery, mutual discovery. So that's my challenge to you today, to be mutually compatible with all human beings. And if they never receive your love, it still is changing you. It's changing me. When I love others, it's not about changing them. It's about me growing a bigger space in me to be a better human being. Well, I got to bring this love plane in for a landing and urge you to join me in a couple of exercises that I love to do with you. Notice how I said I love to do this with you. I want you to join me in breathing well. Take a good long inhale breath. Close your eyes if you'd like to. Not if you're driving. Please don't do that. But if you're in a safe place where you can close your eyes and draw a deep breath, draw that breath with me, would you, right now, on the count of three. Take a good, solid breath. One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it. And exhale. Slow yourself down. Lower your blood pressure. Isolate yourself from critical thinking or negativity, and be focused on good breaths. Another thing to focus on is the challenge I like to offer you, and that is to look somebody in the eye with authenticity, with compassion, and especially love. Give them the three most holy, magical, charmed words in the human language with eye contact and say, "I love you." You. You just don't know how much change in yourself is happening, and you don't know how much change could be happening in another soul. It's a beautiful potential miracle waiting our courage. It's startling. It's unnerving for folks. I know I've done it multiple times, and I can see the look in people's eyes because I'm looking in the eyes. I know they're wondering, oh my, what do I say? What do I do? That's okay. But let's normalize saying, I love you. So now I urge you in that condition, just go out in the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence light a new light in the hearts of others. That's a quote from Mother Teresa. Go into the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. Recognizing that one of the biggest mistakes we make in life is thinking we have all the time in the world. Nope. Let's learn how to be present. Be kind. Love more. And love now. Go out there and do something beautiful, ladies and gentlemen, because, oh, baby, ugly has been done to death. Time to rise and shine. Go into the world and love the people you meet. And let that love be a brand new shining light that illuminates their path as you go forward in this world today. God bless you. I love you. And happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com. And we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/Randy Dean Ministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.